How many of you are so done with this Christmas thing? Go ahead. You can put your hand up. It's okay. How many of you have put it to bed for the rest of the year? Already put away? Yeah, that's okay. All right. Christmas is a beautiful, holy day. Yeah. It's really a great day for celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus, God with us. It is really great for young Christians. But as mature Christians, we should understand that it isn't just the birth of Jesus, but also the fact that God is right here with us all the time. Let's not grow weary, but gain strength in the comfort of knowing God is with us. Today, we are going to look at the Christmas story with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. One more time for those that love Christmas. And how do we worship? Today, if we look at our scripture readings, so feel free to put that up there so that they can find those scripture readings in their Bible, please. We'll be going from Matthew to Luke and back to Matthew. So settle in. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had a mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken over the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cornelius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, where he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that they had talked about. See this baby who was lying in a manger." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Those are the words of the Lord. Well, let's look at the scripture character by character, if you would. How they worshiped our King, our Savior, our Teacher, our Guide, Emmanuel, God with us. The first character we saw was Joseph. Here's a man that was betrothed to Mary, this young lady who he found out was pregnant. Joseph, being a righteous man, he knew the law, but he didn't want to disgrace Mary. And an angel appeared, told him not to worry about it. "He'll be fine. This son is special. Take her as your wife." And he did. Joseph worshiped God by obeying. He did what he was asked. The next character that we saw were the angels. They were out in the fields, showed up to the shepherds. The angel made a huge announcement. The Savior was born. The Messiah told these shepherds that they would find him in a manger, that he'd be wrapped up, swaddled, cloths, in a manger. And then that angel was surrounded by a multitude of angels. and they sang. They chanted, God in the highest, glory. They honored Jesus, God, God with us, by singing. Do we sing? Do we think our voice is not good enough? Do we sing praises to our King? We sing the national anthem. I know some of you people from Rochester even sing that school song that has that whatever it is in the middle. I know you do. Those angels sang. Then we had these shepherds. There they were. They were minding their own business, doing their job. This angel appeared. Told them about the Savior being born. Told them what they'd see. Now, these shepherds, according to Jewish tradition, might have been special shepherds. There's some indication that these shepherds might be temple shepherds, that these shepherds might have been tending sheep, lambs, that were going to be used for sacrificial offerings. If that's the case, their lambs were special. They had to be without blemish. When a new lamb was born to their flock, they wrapped their lamb up in cloths and set them in a manger so that they wouldn't bang up against the rocks in the caves which they called home, to protect them from injury. So these shepherds, after the angels went back, said, well, let's go find this out. Let's go check this out. So they did. They went back to their caves and found Jesus, just as the angel had said, swaddled, wrapped with cloths, in a manger. They had dots that were connected. You guys ever have dots that were connected and you wonder how that happened? Where God has stepped up and connected one thing to another? I believe that's what happened to the shepherds. I think they made the connection in between this child, this baby, and their sacrificial lambs. And the story tells us that they were excited. They were so excited that they went and told everyone. They spread the news. They worshiped and honored God by spreading the news, sharing their joy, sharing the connection of their dots. Do we go out and connect our dots, see that and share that? Then we have Mary. Of course, Mary is a sterling example as well of obeying. What if she would have said, oh, no thanks. I don't want to be full of grace. I'm good. Thank you very much. Obviously a sterling example of obeying. But that's not what our Christmas story tells us. It tells us that she pondered. She pondered in her heart. What's that mean? That means that she thought, took in what was being said, took in what was she was seeing. She internalized it. She put it in her heart. She shut out the world and focused on her baby, who she knew was the Savior. Mary, did you know? She knew. Do we take time to store things in our hearts? Do we take time to close out the world enough to store God in our heart, to internalize what He wants us, that it's there? That's what He listens to. He doesn't listen to that voice that's always off key. He listens to that sincerity of that heart while you're trying to sing. And then we get to Herod. And the chief priest. Where do they fit in this story? Herod gets informed of the news, and he's a paranoid fella anyway, but he's instantly threatened. He's threatened of a baby. Tells you how bad this guy is. He's threatened of a baby. But he was told that baby's going to be the king of the Jews. That's his job. He's paranoid. And in his brain, he's already trying to figure out, how am I going to end this? How do I get rid of this? He's plotting. So he calls his chief priest to verify the information. And they, reading scripture, they say exactly where he's from, why he was there, and where is he at, and everything. And you know what? They did nothing. They were concerned. They were disturbed. They were bothered. There was no honor. There was no worship. Wouldn't you have thought the learned people, the people who knew the scripture backwards and forwards, would have ran to Bethlehem? I would have thought. And then we have my favorite, the wise men. These wise men, they came from a long way away. They weren't even Jewish. They had nothing in this other than that they had seen this great star. And they followed it. They knew the star signified something big. That from their studies, their God had put that in their heads. Their spirit had led them to Jerusalem to follow the star. So they did. They went and sought God. That's quite a bit of honor. That's quite a bit of praise. It's quite a bit of worship. Do we study Scripture? Do we seek to know God? Do we seek to know Jesus? Do we seek to understand the Trinity? Or do we just go on? The kings didn't stop there. The wise men didn't stop there. They got to the house and they gave gifts. Here's where it might get a little more practical, maybe. They gave gifts. We all know the gifts. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Most of us can't identify. Most of us can't identify with gold. Most of us can't identify with frankincense. And most of us can't identify with myrrh. But I would say let's go with gold first. It's maybe the easiest one. Gold's valuable. It's expensive. Our jewelry is made with fine gold. Most of us don't have a lot of gold. But we are blessed abundantly. So let's take gold as a symbol of our blessings. Let's take gold as a symbol of our value. God has blessed us all beyond all measure. Do we share those blessings? Do we give them to others? What a great form of worship to give and share our blessings. Now let's take frankincense. Frankincense is an incense that was used in ceremonial purposes that when burnt, like incense is, it gives off a very fragrant aroma, undeniable aroma, and the smoke rises. It's used in a lot of different church rites to symbolize prayers, rising up to God. So let's go with that symbolism. Let's go with the symbolism of incense being our prayers that rise up to God. Do we worship our God with gratitude, with our prayers? If you made a ledger of all the prayers that you say, and I'm sure we all say them, you know, how many of our prayers would be on, please, Lord, do these things for us. Heal these people, you know, take this away from us, you know, make these people feel better, you know, do all the. How many would put here? And then over here on this side, how many say thank you? Or God, you're just awesome. You have blessed me beyond all measure. How many really praise God in our prayers? God likes to be thanked. It hit me like a stone wall. About 7 years ago, I was sitting right back there on a Saturday morning, and it slapped me in the face bigger than I'll get out. Wouldn't it be nice to thank me? Yes, it would, God. I'm sorry. I had just spent an hour. Whew, boy, one of those prayer mornings, you know, that we have on Saturdays every once in a while. An hour, man. I listed off a billion things. A billion things that I wanted. In that whole hour, I'm not sure I said, thank you for anything that I've got. I sat down. All relaxed, pretty smug, pretty proud of myself. Do I get a thank you? What a great way to honor our God. You want to worship Him? Thank Him. Praise Him for what He's given you. Then we have myrrh. Myrrh is a symbol of death. It was a perfume that they put on dead bodies so that when they started to smell, they wouldn't smell quite as bad as early, so that this myrrh would cover up the smell. So let's go that myrrh is a symbol of death. So how's that praise God? How's that going to honor God? How about death to ourselves? How many times are we willing to give up our time? How often are we willing to give of our talents? Our skills. You know, we get asked a lot of times to do things. Sometimes like preach. And, oh, I don't have the time right now. Maybe the myrrh is supposed to remind us that if we're going to honor and praise God, we need to give up ourselves. Get over ourselves. You know, our wants. It's not about us. What do we sacrifice for others? All the others that are made, just like you, in God's image. If we honor anyone, we honor God, because God is in them, just like He's in you. So, I don't know if I got any counters yet, so let's sum this up. How do you praise the Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit? Do you obey? Do you do what He asks? Have you read the book well enough? Have you internalized the book good enough to know what He is that He's asking you to do? Praise God by obeying Him. Worship Him by obeying. Do you sing? Don't give me an excuse. Can't carry a tune in a bucket. Neither can I. Neither can most of us. Jesus doesn't hear with His ears. He hears with His heart. And it goes heart to heart. I've told people all for a long time, He's tone deaf. God is tone deaf. He hears everything perfectly. He has perfect pitch because He doesn't hear your bad notes. Sing. Sing praises to God. Are you overjoyed to the point that others know about your love for God? Do you share your experiences? When your dots are connected, when you realize God has done anything for you, when he does something for you every day, all the time? Do you share that? What a praise that would be. What an impact that would be. Do you spend time really thinking about all the great things the Lord has done? Do you worship Him by shutting out the rest of the world for a while? Just you and Him. He'd love that. Do you take time to really seek Him? To really try to know and follow His ways? Sunday morning church is supposed to be a time of worship and praise. It's not really supposed to be a time of learning. And if all you're doing is coming to church and thinking that's where you're learning, you're fooling yourself a little bit. Take time and go seeking. Be wise. Do you share your blessings? He's given you so many. Do you pray to Him with thanksgiving for all that He's given you, for all those blessings? Do you sacrifice yourself for Him? Do you give Him a chance to be greater than you? So how do you praise your King, our teacher, our counselor? Come, let us adore Him. Let's come and adore Him in thought, our word, our deed. Let's worship the Lord.